Are you like me? Are you tired of wearing uncomfortable dress shirts, especially when they bunch up under your sweater? You got to check out Collars & Co., the makers of the dress collar polo. So the shirts, they're four-way stretch, they're buttery soft polos, but with firm dress collars on them. So they give you the dress shirt look, but an extremely comfortable polo feel. You can wear them under your sweater, your blazer, or by themselves. They're great for the office. They're great for the golf course. They're great for a night out. Dan Orlovsky over at ESPN wears these. They look sharp. You don't want to wear shirts that you bought at a sporting goods store to work or out on a date. These shirts are exploding. The brand has gone viral on social media. They received a $1 million investment from Mark Cuban and Peter Jones on Shark Tank. It's because of those collars. They don't flop down. They don't spread out like a 1970s disco collar. They stay firm. They stay sharp all day. They're one less thing to worry about. If you're looking for a performance dress shirt or a polo that looks great all day, you got to check out collarsandco.com. Use the promo code VANITY for 15% off any purchase of $100 or more. Again, that's collarsandco, C-O-L-L-A-R-S, and co.com. Use the promo code VANITY, 15% off purchase of $100 or more. Oh, yeah. Four pre-rolls tonight, starting with Freshly. Really helps me stop stressing about dinner. Try Freshly. 50 different nutritionist design entrees. Right now, Freshly is offering $125 off your first five orders at freshly.com/JRVP. That's $125 off your first five orders at freshly.com/JRVP. You can also get 20% off your painting and free shipping at Paint Your Life. We love Paint Your Life. You choose a photo, they paint it for you. Text the word vanity to 64,000. That's vanity to 64,000 for 20% off your first painting and free shipping there. Black Buffalo is back. It's 2022. If you're still dipping traditional tobacco, you're out of luck. If you're over 21, it's time to get with Black Buffalo. They have nicotine-free options called Zero. Head to blackbuffalo.com. Use the promo code JRVP at checkout for 25% off your first order. That's the best offer you will find. Code JRVP for 25% off your first order at blackbuffalo.com. Finally, it's Keeps. Take action and prevent hair loss. Go to keeps.com/JRVP to get your first month of treatment for free. That's keeps.com/JRVP for your first month free. So much coming up, including the danger of holding in farts, a petting zoo camel gone wrong, and the best man speech ever. Episode 151 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
Where are you, Liz? I'm so hungry.
That's why you need that Freshly for when Liz is away.
I know. I wish I mean,
aren't you
that.
Like just like a little embarrassed? Not that I would be any different if I was in your situation. That you're this old at this point, and you still can't really take care of like basic needs like food for yourself.
It's humiliating. It's humiliating. But I stand by it. I will defend myself. I'm 43 years old. And I'm a total baby. I've been single for a long, long time and was able to put it together, barely. But having someone more or less, you know, staying here all the time and then leaving has been like, I don't know what to do. Like I turn into a baby, huge baby at two points in my life when I get, whenever I get sick. When I get sick, I'm just like texting people to bring me things. I don't care who they are or what they do. Just bring me things or I'll die. And
you're like the guy in, you're like the guy in Phantom Thread, Woodcock. You just become very tender, you know, when you're sick.
Mm-hmm. Good reference. Like last night I went out and I went and had dinner with a friend and I went to Musso and Frank's. I had not been there since pre-pandemic. I forget the last time I went there was, but it was definitely pre-pandemic. Went and ate, had a great meal, had like a couple drinks, but I'm fine. And I come back home and it's like 11 o'clock, 11:30, maybe closer to midnight. And I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to eat an edible and watch a movie. I'm going to watch the new Scream that's, I think, is either on like HBO Max. It was free, I think, to watch. And I reach into this bag, and I haven't bought weed in a year. Every once in a while, I do a show where they just give me like a gift bag full of like marijuana products, and I just kind of go through those. So I'm all out of, you know, any kind of any green. I'm out of any kind of vape. I just have these edibles, and I open this bag, and it says like extra extra strong. It's like to go to sleep. It's like, that's what you do. And I'm like, you know, it's midnight. I'm going to go to bed soon anyway. And I pull one out, and as I'm eating it, I realize that I've pulled out two, that I'm eating two of these things. And I'm like, you know what? I've got a high tolerance. It'll be fine. I'd say within half an hour, I have no idea what's happening in reality. Like I cannot follow the movie. I don't know who, I think everyone's the same character. Like, I truly just don't understand what's happening. And I don't remember turning it off. Just the next thing I know, I wake up in my bed and I have no idea where I am. I'm so confused. I literally have no idea who I am, where I am. I have to get up, like find light switches that I don't know where they are. And eventually like turn on enough lights to realize that I'm just in my bed sleeping. Like, I put myself to bed and I couldn't get it together. And turn everything back off. I have my alarm set for 9 when the dog walker comes. Come downstairs, put Rummy's stuff on, drop the, like she takes him. And then I go on the couch and immediately go right back to sleep, where I hear a knock on the door, which it seems like 5 seconds later. I thought the dog walker had forgotten something. And I get up and I open the door and she's like, all right, like it's 12:30 now, like here where it's 11:30 now, here's your dog. And I was just like, oh my God. Fed Rummy, got back on the couch and went to sleep until like, I want to say like 2:30. Finally woke up and felt great. Like, didn't feel hungover, didn't feel weird. There's no like brain cloud. I'm just like, I can't believe that happened to me, that I did that to myself. It was embarrassing, and it would not have happened if Liz had been here. She's betrayed me. She left without any kind of pre-made meals.
It's her fault.
It's totally her fault. No pre-made meals to leave with me. And she's going to
see her family.
I can believe
it happened because you've told some version of that story multiple times on this show. The story is essentially, I took the edibles and I ate too many of them, and then shit went wrong after that.
No, I think you're wrong. I think you're complaining that, two things. Like, I've drank
that
too much.
I so rarely eat edibles.
You have done it.
I know, but that's why. And then you stop eating edibles for like another 6 months, and then this story happens again.
It happens. And listen, I didn't do anything bad. I didn't hurt myself. I didn't eat. I can't believe I didn't eat anything.
You didn't make a frozen pizza?
No, I just went to bed, and I was like stuffed from the steakhouse. But yeah, I couldn't tell you anything about Scream. Couldn't tell you. I think that everyone's a young brunette in the movie. I do not know what happened. And I don't know what to do about edibles. Luckily, I'm doing a show on Friday that will
give me more. Take less of them. They tell you how much.
They only give me the only ones I have are the extra extra strength. Like, they give me the stuff that people don't buy. You know, it's like, oh, this, the comedians will take it for free. What vape pens aren't people buying? What stuff aren't people buying? What's old? And that's what I get for free. So I literally just have a box of all of these extra, extra strong edibles, which I'm sure, like, as soon as the podcast is over, I'll take 4. Because I'm fucking stupid. And Liz knows I'm stupid, but she left. And I'll tell you this. She went to go visit her family. I think it's bullshit. I think the second I asked you on a date and you said yes, you have no family. I'm your family, and it's disgraceful.
I mean, you basically are. You know, you guys are all but living together. You're basically living together. I mean, when Anthony goes, he goes hard. He goes all in. He expects total commitment. That's why we don't live together anymore. Anthony did not let me leave the house. Like, I had to take care of meals. It was a lot for a few years.
I was like, where are you going? Where are you going? My stomach is empty. Don't you leave me.
Had to help him get jobs. No, we were kind of clueless together in terms of feeding ourselves. And so I feel like just there wasn't a lot of eating getting done generally.
I'm like, I'm going to Trader Joe's with like a basket and like looking around helplessly. Like, I am a child. I'm a grown ass child. And I cannot wait until she gets back. And she's here for like 3 days. And then I leave to go to Pittsburgh where my mom will take care of me. My mom will do things for me.
I'm going to Massachusetts less than 24 hours after we recording this a little early, and spending a week at my parents' house with the kids, do kid like thing. This is like dad season right now. You know, this is the one time a year we can get back to Massachusetts. I'm the assistant coach, Anthony, on 2 different Walker sports teams right now.
Whoa. I was not
baseball,
planning.
Baseball and what's the other one?
Basketball. And I wasn't really planning basketball, but I like brought him to the first practice. It had gotten delayed like half a year because of COVID. And so it's happening sort of out of season. And then I'm just sitting there watching it. And it's like, you just feel, you feel like helpless, just like watching a practice. Like why am I an adult watching a practice? And I knew they needed someone else to help out the coach. So I asked Walker if he was cool with it. And so I'm now the assistant coach on that team too.
You know, I don't think that's weird. I don't think it's weird to watch kids play sports. I think
games are fine. I get it. But when you're just like sitting there watching them practice, it just seems so pointless. It's like in a small YMCA gym too. It's just like, why am I here? And you could see that this other grown man in this case could use some help, because none of the kids listen to anything you say.
They listen to you?
They listen, but at their age, it's hard to focus. So if there's like eight or nine of them, it's hard for one person to corral them. What I'm learning as being an assistant coach is like the same type of person that you are on a sports team at age six or seven is the same person you will be for the rest of your life. There's an equal amount of people who just won't be paying any attention, who are terrible at sports, or who are great at sports, who are funny, who are like jerks, who are great. Like it's every mix. And one poor guy needs some help. And so why not go out there and just like participate instead of watching?
Again, I couldn't disagree more. I think watching children practice is awesome. I think it's fun to watch one of them wander off, you know, see how far he gets, see should you follow him. You know, I think it's fun just to watch them be in line and not listening to anybody, not listening to adults telling each other secrets. You know, I think it's sexy. What is your coaching style? Do you just sit on the side and yell, Walker, be taller?
they're all very much beginners, but Walker's solid. I try not to like coach him more than the others, for sure. I would say I'm very encouraging. I'm not like an expert in either sport, so I'm just kind of following the main coach's lead and trying to like keep them all in line and give positive tips and stuff. But there are moments where you just feel bad, because you kind of realize this is a mean thing to say, but like the kids who's like the worst guy on the team, like you're never gonna be athletic. Like you can improve for sure, but there's like a couple that aren't gonna improve enough to make it worth their while.
And just to reiterate, these kids are five. We're talking about five-year-old kids.
They're seven. They're seven. They're seven. But that's what I sort of mean, is that like every type of, you've played team sports, and there's just like different types of people on each team. There's like the go-getter, you know, there's the one with like great form but kind of crumbles under pressure. There's sort of like the opposite, who can't practice but is great in the games. There's ones who are supportive of their teammates. There's ones that are like it's all about them, and like all that's in place from the very beginning, and you just gotta like hope that you got a bunch of the good kind.
You're not thinking about like a growth spurt maybe when they're 10 years older?
Well, that helps too. That helps too. But yeah, you can tell the like just the natural athletes that improve really quickly. And that's fun. It's,
how were you,
I,
how
I'm
were you as
it.
A kid? How were you as a kid athlete?
I was always
this is
solid.
Painful.
I was. Why is this painful? These are my theories. I'm seeing if any other, you know, dads out there or moms like agree with it. I was always like a little better than average. I was always like a good, like I'm an asset to the team. I'm not going to be a star, but I'll be a little better than average. Yeah.
What is up with your mic? Why does it keep, it'll get super loud. And I know you're not changing the way that you talk, but it sounds like a drum is talking to me. That's how loud it gets.
I think I'm getting excited. I'm not enjoying though that you guys are like cringing at this whole conversation. I thought I was bringing some good stuff. You know, we're taping this soon after our last episode, and I knew you needed some help here. And
I mean,
what
you
we
just
did during
you
the
just,
week,
you just trashed the entire team that you assistant coach. You just said
no,
they
I love
all
them.
Suck, and they're
I
hopeless.
Love them. I just think it's like a fascinating window into like human behavior, because I wouldn't have thought about, you don't think about this stuff as a kid, and I think if I didn't have kids, you think it's like all these like moldable pieces of clay. And it's like, no, whoever you were on your team in high school or college, you know, you're that like from the get go. You can see it.
Oh, hey, man. You catch the last JRVP? Yeah, it was awesome. They talked about a five-year-old basketball team earnestly for 15 minutes.
seven-year-olds.
Just to be clear, that was Erica doing a character.
Oh,
right.
Tell
us about your vacation again.
My vacation was fucking better than that.
You know what? You are who you are when you vacation as a 7-year-old for the rest of your life. You never change. That's all.
It's fun though. I'm glad I'm that dad, and I'm already thinking like I've only got this time of year to do it, like the spring when I have some time, and I've only got like 5 years left or 4 years left, and then it's over, and my kids won't want to be doing this stuff, and I won't be involved at all, and then we'll die.
That was Craig announcing his divorce, and he would be leaving the family and never seeing them again. The 5-year clock is counting down. Let me try to say something interesting during this. How was the week? I saw and was not able to get the attention of Tim Robinson. Tim Robinson, I often quote, I think you should leave. I was in my coffee shop like a week or so ago, and I can't believe I just forgot to tell the story last week. But I'm in there with Liz and I go, we take Rummy, and we're in the coffee shop, and I'm ordering. And I go there all the time. They know who I am. And I see at the end of the counter, like waiting for their order, is what I believe to be, all three guys are wearing masks, but it looks like Tim Robinson and two, I assume like writers or producers or something, and they're on a coffee break. And Tim Robinson's like telling a story. He's like acting it out. And I'm like, that's got to be him. That's got to be him. I'm just like staring at him. But I don't know enough to be like, hey, Tim Robinson. And it's a pretty packed coffee house. So Liz is like, I'm pretty sure that's him. I am good with mask faces. I'm pretty sure that's him. And so all I could do, instead of just saying his name like a normal person, I just took my mask off. I took my mask off in the coffee shop. Like maybe they'll see me.
Yeah.
Then I took it off like while I'm ordering. The employee is like, why did you just take your mask off when you came in here? Like you don't have to wear it right now, but people were still wearing them. And I took it off. And I think one of the guys noticed me for a second, but they just kept walking outside. And as soon as they got outside, they took their masks off. And I knew it was definitely Tim Robinson. But like no other celebrity would make me do that. That I would either like not care. I'd be like, that's someone I don't care about. Or I want to go say hi, but I'm afraid they won't know who I am and I'll be a weird fan. And so I'll just take my mask off and risk getting a disease so that they can recognize me. So well, I assume he's writing somewhere.
The mask off thing is less weird than why not just go say hi?
Because it was like they were far enough away and he was in a discussion with other people that I didn't want to go up and like fanboy. That I'm like, if he sees me and is like, are you Anthony Jeselnik? Like, it's like, yes, your show. Like I told the employees, I was like, his show is the, because as soon as he left, they were like, yeah, that is him. They come in sometimes. And I said, he's the funniest thing on Netflix and I'm on Netflix. And that was a fun way to find out that all the employees that I've been talking to for months have no idea who I am. Yeah. They were like, you're on Netflix? I was like, I'm a comedian. They're like, oh, okay, cool. But I think you should leave is really funny. And I'm like, I can't argue. But I every day I go back in, I hope to run into Tim Robinson and say hello. And be so in.
Do you like feel this bond with everyone on Netflix? You know,
it's a family.
To see the Tiger King and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely Tiger King. All the Tiger King people, the bad vegan.
That's impressive. The Tinder
swindler. We're a family.
You should have. I think you would have been happy. I think you would have been happy to hear from you.
If I knew it was him right away, no one was wearing masks and I'd walked in, I would have said something. And again, he might not know who I am. There are plenty of people who don't know, like, you know, different stand-up comics.
He's in the comedy world, but I'm sure he would.
I would easily believe he did, but I also didn't want to bother him. And again, I wasn't 100% sure. But I get very excited about very few people. That I was very excited for Tim Robinson. I think he's working on something else now. I don't think he's working on season 3 of I Think You Should Leave. I think it's another show. But I want to be a part of I Think You Should Leave season 3 very badly. Ooh, I'm sure I will not.
You think he like, you know how he's like the type of person on that show where he just sort of like explodes in anger sometimes in a very mm-hmm. funny way? Like that's exactly who he was when he was 7 years old on his baseball team. He was the same guy.
I don't think when he explodes, it's always funny that I would think his instinct is to never explode. I know he's a dad, he's got kids, he's married. I think he's probably a very cool, very level-headed person. And when he does explode, I mean, I walk around all the time just screaming, tables! Like, I do it all the time, that his explosions are the best. But yeah, that was my brush with fame, and I blew it. And now it's time for, did we get any notes? Back to some old music. I've been seeing this note around for the last couple of months, and I've never really addressed it, and I thought I would do it today. Rummy, if you pull this computer off the table, I will pet you. Hold on. I see people talk about how some of our stories are very old. We do headlines, and a lot of times Greg will end it with, by the way, that story is from 10 years ago or 2 years ago. Sometimes I think we had a 100-year-old story at one point. I do not care. I do not care. I've never gotten mad at the researcher, who is Erica, for giving us an old story.
And just by research, it's just click the link and then look at the date at the top. It's not a long process.
You screamed that? You screamed when you were seven? You're screaming now?
I really did. I'm sure I was the screamer at seven. I was screaming.
I believe it. We don't care. We don't care at all. Don't point it out to us. I don't care if all our stories are old. I just want to talk about fun things and make stupid jokes. It does not matter to me at all when they happened. I'll never care. You could tell me beforehand that they were five-year-old stories, and I would still want to talk about them as if they happened this week. That's the world of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP. Junior Vice President.
That's what you're getting. You're getting old stories, Greg yelling. That's it. That's what you signed up for.
Maybe like a weekly update of the baseball and basketball teams now. That can be like the weekly segment. You guys enjoyed it so much.
Did we get any notes? Now let's take it down to a place that's always 7 years old. If we're just talking about intellectual ability, it's Erica's Corner. Erica Tambosi, our producer, been a longtime producer. She's got her own podcast called The Broadcast. And we like to let Erica carve out a little part of our podcast for herself, where she will almost certainly read a listener email. Mm-hmm. So, Erica, read us a listener email.
So this is from Kevin. In the spirit of the show Yellow Jackets.
Why is everyone yelling? Why?
Turn your volume down.
Yeah, I think it's yelling. Your volume, bro.
Like, why are you maxed out?
No, you started talking normally and then started yelling when you got to Kevin's letter.
Okay, Kevin, in the spirit of the show Yellow Jackets, or the book Lord of the Flies, how would the following scenario play out?
I feel like I'm being mocked now.
You are all on a private plane as part of a USO tour and crash on a deserted island. In addition to you three, also present on the plane are other comedians as part of the tour, including Nick Swartzen, Joe Rogan, Taylor Tomlinson, and Jim Gaffigan. Leslie Jones missed the flight. Additionally, the organizers of the tour were kind enough to allow Rummy and Thor to tag along. How would this play out? What alliances would form? Who would go crazy first? Who would attempt to be the leader? What if someone starts eyeing Rummy or Thor due to hunger? Thanks for all you guys do. I have a newborn, and listening to you guys during our stroller walks is one of the highlights of my week.
Okay. This is a very specific question. I'm going to go first. And then you guys can go, and I've got these names in front of me. All right, so we've just crashed. It's me, Erica, Greg, Rummy, and Thor. And everyone survives, I assume. Then it's Nick Swartzen, Joe Rogan, Taylor Tomlinson, and Jim Gaffigan. Yeah. There's no one else. The pilots have died. It's just us on a desert island. I feel good about Rummy. I'm going to let Rummy run off and do his thing. Maybe he'll come bring me back stuff. I don't know, but he'll be taken care of. I'm not going to worry about providing for Rummy as long as there's fresh water around. Thor is probably going to die.
Yeah.
Right? Thor probably doesn't survive the crash, if we're being honest. Now, Jim Gaffigan is kind of a badass. You don't think of him as a badass, but he was like a college wrestler. He can tussle. He also is going to eat the most. I'm going to have an eye on Gaffigan. Taylor Tomlinson, I got to think she's walking into the ocean as soon as she gets out of the plane. I think she's just walking into the ocean to being like, fuck this. I'm not dealing with this. Nick Swartzen's going to be fun, but useless. Like, he'll get sunburned the first day and then just whine about that the whole time. Joe Rogan is going to be the leader. I think he knows the most about survival skills. He's probably in the best shape. I think he would take the lead. I think Gaffigan would allow it, but Gaffigan would kind of check him if he had to. I would start poisoning Joe Rogan from the second we crashed. Because I want him to help us through the original survival phase, but then I don't want to have to deal with that bullshit once he goes full crazy, once he goes full Will Smith, and starts like putting heads on pikes. So I would try to like feed him like broken glass and shit so that he would eventually die from what my plan, but not for a while, not until he'd built us a shelter and told me how to do things. And then I would kind of let Gaffigan try to run things and hope that he doesn't starve to death or kill us all for food. But yeah, Taylor Tomlinson's walking into the ocean. Swartzen's going to die eventually from something, probably like exposure, drinking salt water. And then it would just be the three of us and Jim Gaffigan. And I'm willing to live a life like that. What do you think? What do you think about that?
That's a pretty good breakdown. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be a fun way to do it. I think Rogan is absolutely the first one gone. I think everyone just kind of looks at each other almost immediately and decides without saying anything, we need to kill Joe Rogan. Like, we just need to get him out of our lives, and then we can kind of move forward. I don't know much about Taylor Tomlinson. I didn't know that was a woman until you said she. But that's my own ignorance. I think you're underselling our role here, me and Erica. I think they're going to be a little suspicious of us as a group because we are a group. We're a podcast coming into it, and they won't like that. They won't like to see that almost as an alliance. I think I would quietly become the leader, but people wouldn't realize it.
Okay. You're going to take Joe down. How would you kill Joe Rogan?
Well, I think we all have to do it together. You said poison. I think my point is you thought the same thing I did, which was Joe Rogan has to go first, no matter
what.
But
not too, and not then too we're early. Cool. We need Joe for the first couple months. Then you want to smash his head in with a rock while he's sleeping? Okay. But we need him to kind of build shelters, kind of teach us what to do. Because Rogan's the only guy who knows how to survive on an island, I'm sure.
No, I mean, I'm a lesbian. I can like make a fire from sticks and stuff. I could probably build us a shelter pretty easily.
Is that a thing they teach you in lesbian school?
Yeah, exactly. That's right. What you go to Home Depot, you get a Home Depot card.
I don't trust that at all. Whenever Erica confidently says she can do something, she's usually just making that up.
Well, that's
you know
not true.
What surprises me is that neither one of you seem to be worried about me. You don't think I'm coming for you real quick? You don't think Erica's going to turn into my Wilson the volleyball, and I'm going to lose my goddamn mind almost right away? It's going to be. I mean, it would be a nightmare for all of us. I think of the three of us. I think I'm getting off the island. I think me and Gaffigan, and I think I can imagine like Swartzen like disappearing for the whole time, and then when the rescue plane comes, Nick's like, "Hey, what's up? Oh, I was just over there."
I'm a survivor. I might get a little batty like quick when we did Pledge Week at our fraternity. It's embarrassing. I sort of just like decided early to just sort of almost go into a different mindset, and that would just be like a better way to survive it. And maybe that's what I would have to do on the island. But I'm wiry and I have stamina. I'm in good, like I have good wind, you know what I mean? Like I would last. I don't need much to eat. I think I would be an asset and I would be a team player. After we kill Rogan, then I'm just gonna help everyone and be nice. And I think that's the way to go.
What would you do when I start wearing Joe Rogan's faces like on my face? When I like really lose it and I'm just like walking around wearing like a flesh suit.
I would laugh. I mean, it would be a good, I would think it was like a good bit. It was a good anthem. It was like classic Jeselnik.
Mm-hmm. I just hope Liz is on the plane because otherwise I'm starving to death almost right away. I need that. And Erica, how confident are you in surviving the experience?
I feel like, yeah, I feel like I'm pretty resourceful. I really don't think I would let that happen.
I feel like I would not be able to get over why did we go on this USO tour to do our podcast? Like, why did we think the troops would care? Why would the troops care that we were there doing a live podcast? They would be so mad. They just want to see.
I mean, I think the troops would love us if you're a troop and if you're a servicewoman or man, you know, let us know. You know, maybe our next Erica's Corner should be an email or just hearing from the troops, because I think we're huge with the troops. They get around the campfire and they all listen to the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
Because you know what troops love? Like, they love campfires.
It's like God, JRVP, country, family. But it's hard to get soldiers or troops to identify themselves. They like to keep that quiet. They don't like talking about being the troops. So hopefully our listeners can get around that. But I support the troops, but I think if we were on a tour with those people, they would be like, why are these guys doing an hour about these really old stories? They'd be furious.
I don't know. I am distracted right now.
You got your own desert island right now going on.
I'm just like annoyed. Like, why does every listener always ask a version of this question? This happens on the other podcast they do, the Around the NFL podcast. And it's always like, who would survive on a desert island? Who would like kill each other first? How would it all happen? I feel like we've gotten these questions before. I guess it is a sign that we've been doing this podcast a long time that we keep repeating old stories and getting similar questions. But why is this the first question?
I think
people
just
want to
know. I think it's interesting.
Do you think that once I started wearing Joe Rogan skin over my own and started pretending to do the Joe Rogan podcast with people, like how long until you think it got repetitive? Like, would you guys sit down and be my guests? As I like talked into a
the repetition is what would be funny about it. Like, I think it would only get better. That's me. That's why we would be good desert island companions. I think I would laugh. You gotta laugh to make it through.
I'll tell you what there wouldn't be on that island. Cancel culture. And that was Erica's Corner. Shine on, you crazy diamond. And now it's time for
ad copy.
2 out of 3 men will experience some form of hair loss by the time they are 35. You don't want to be one of those men.
I think it could be 3 out of 3 and people just aren't doing enough. I think the 1 out of 3 is lying. I think that if you're a young man between the ages of whatever Greg just said, you need to get this product and buy it and put it in your hair.
It's Keeps. There's only 2 FDA approved medications that can prevent hair loss. Keeps offers both. It's easy to do. So you have a convenient virtual doctor consultation. Then you have the medication delivered straight to your door every 3 months. You don't have to leave home. There's 24/7 care and support, and it's cheap. It's at just $10 a month. Again, the 2 versions that you need, treatment plans are affordable. It's 4 to 6 months can take to see results, though. So you got to act fast. Like, Jesselnik's hair is looking good, but prevention is key. Mm-hmm. You can't treat your hair too well. Like, why not just have more hair? Even if you have a ton of hair, like, get more.
You can always have more hair. When I put on the Joe Rogan skin suit, I will have a hole in the top of his head for my hair to come out. I'm not going to take on Joe Rogan's hair.
If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/JRVP to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's keeps.com/JRVP to get your first month free. keeps.com/JRVP. Freshly is what Anthony needs right about now.
I should have dated Freshly. I should have gotten into a relationship with Freshly.
So Freshly is a meal service, but it's not frozen. It's not tasteless like a lot of these. It's not highly processed. It's already cooked, and you just take it from the fridge and you put it in the microwave, heat it up for about 3 minutes, and it's delicious. We've had it before.
And it'll never leave you. It doesn't have a mom, so it doesn't have to go out of town to go visit that mom for a week while you just sit there taking drugs, trying to remember your dog's name. Freshly doesn't do that.
Like, yeah, you cannot, like, if you want to avoid being Anthony, being confused, Stanley at Trader Joe's, like, good luck getting some of their prepared food for like twice as much money. Forget that nonsense. There's 50 nutritionist design entrees. They've got the steak peppercorn. They've got a lot of different sides if you want that, including mac and cheese. They have plant-based meals if you want it. You can have different sizes of the meals, but I thought it was, you know, they're not too big. They're just the right amount. So that you're healthy, not too many calories. Again, not too many bad stuff in there.
Not too many bad stuff in there. And yeah. That was
ad copy.
I mean, that's not ad copy. You got to do the call to action. You got to do the highlighted part. Stop stressing about dinner right now. Freshly is offering our listeners 100 and $25 off your first five orders when you go to freshly.com/JRVP. That's $125 off at freshly.com/JRVP.
And that was
ad copy.
Let's get to headlines.
A Brazilian singer.
Before we get into this, I just want to say all of these stories I do not know anything about. I picked them solely on the headline, and I cannot wait to find out the nitty-gritty, the details.
I think you're going to like them all. They're good ones this week. The first one is about a Brazilian singer who was hospitalized after experiencing severe stomach pains due to trapped farts. Vivian Pereira, better known as Pocha, P-O-C-A-H, on Instagram, 15.7 million followers, who she told that she was holding her farts in and it became a medical condition. She watched a TikTok video that told her not to fart in front of her boyfriend. She's got a new boyfriend, and she held it in, and she ended up having some pretty serious issues.
So how long was she in the hospital for? Like, is she okay? Was it like, just go in and pass all this gas and you'll be okay? Or you get damage to yourself?
I think she was fine. They said, don't do it. It can create a problem. They figured out what it was. It was definitely that. But she kind of used the moment as an opportunity to tell people, don't be like me. Don't be like Pocha. Don't hold in your farts.
I mean, that's how she will be remembered. I mean, listen, Liz has never once farted in front of me to the point that I do not know if she actually farts. I've made fun of her for it. I fart in front of her constantly. But I love the idea of this boyfriend like going to the hospital and like kneeling down next to her bed and taking her hand and going, thank you.
Here's a picture of her. We just wanted to show Anthony kind of what we're dealing with.
She's beautiful, and she looks like her farts like would not smell bad at all. And what I understand not wanting to fart in front of your significant other or your boyfriend or your girlfriend, whatever. What I don't understand is like going to the hospital. Maybe get up and leave the room. You know, maybe go outside. Maybe like go for a walk. You're not like handcuffed together.
Well, I don't think she realized it. And you remember that one that held in her fart so that she could put it in a jar or whatever, and that created some problems. I think once you've been holding it in so long, it's not that easy to just like let it all out. It was a more serious issue, or she didn't really know it was all about the fart. She didn't know what was the problem.
Listen, farting is healthy. It's a healthy thing to do. And if you're not farting to the point that you have to go to the hospital, do not tell anyone about that. Don't tell anyone. But the boyfriend, he's got to marry her now. If he was like, how did you know you were in love? It's like, oh, when she went to the hospital, because she wouldn't fart in front of me. That is love. That is putting it all on the line. If I were the boyfriend, I'd be like, you know, you've been farting the whole time, right? Like, you might think you haven't been, but like I've been polite about it, but you have actually been farting and you did this. So joke's on you.
Like, what do you think of the message that she wrote or said to all of her fans? She said, girls, don't be ashamed to fart in front of your guy, because what's really embarrassing is not letting your guy sleep because you're in so much discomfort that you have to go to the hospital with him and the diagnosis is trapped farts. From now on, I'm letting them rip, guys.
If I let Liz back into the house after she comes home after this betrayal, and she if she wakes me up in the middle of the night and says, honey, I need you to take me to the hospital right now. I've been holding in my farts and it's gotten too far and now I'm in pain. I need to go to the doctor. She's taking herself to the doctor. That's a YP, not an MP. I'd rather you just fart. Just go ahead and fart. I've been disgusted by the smell of farts before, but I've never been mad at someone for farting or like less turned on or less into someone because they fart. You can't fart too much. If you make a game out of it, if you're like lifting your leg and like trying to be as loud as you can, that's gross. But everyone farts.
Just like, whoops, again, I dropped something and then just like rip one right in front of you.
Yeah. Like, hey, pull this finger. That's too much. I don't want that. I don't want that kind of game. But you, ladies, you can leave the room. you can just like walk away, turn some music up loud, and fart to your little heart's content. You don't have to go to the hospital. It's not an either or situation. But this boy, this guy's got to feel like he's got his relationship on lock.
Right. He does not. And I was a little surprised. There was a picture of the two of them. He's got a very like curly Q sort of mustache. Seems to be punching up. He seems to be punching up here that he's got polka.
She would rather die than fart in front of him. But I wonder if, like, the first time they met, he was just like, you know, I like long walks on the beach and deal breakers are farting. Do not ever fart in front of me or it's over. I'll cut your throat.
I love that you assumed I know what a YP is and an MP. I mean, do you know that, Erica? Maybe everyone knows
that. I didn't until I kind of got it in context, like a your problem, not a my problem, right?
It's in Boogie Nights.
I figured it out. You know,
it's in Boogie Nights. Usually, when people say that's a YP, not an MP, they then go on to explain themselves. Mm. But I just assumed that everyone here had seen Boogie Nights, the 2001 sex comedy. You don't get the reference? That's a YP. This might be my favorite story based on headline alone that we have this week.
My favorite story of the week was Anthony grooving to the music there.
I was dancing to my dog. My dog is staring at me wondering why I'm not playing with him right now.
I was like, maybe that edible's not totally out of the system yet.
It's got to be. I slipped it out.
I would hope so. petting zoos. They're a magical place for children and adults alike. At least until a killer camel takes you out before you have any fucking idea what happens.
Okay. A little dramatic.
You need more? A camel attacked and killed two adults at a petting zoo in Tennessee.
Okay. Like I was shocked. If it had said a petting camel kills man at zoo or woman at zoo, I might not have picked it. Petting zoo camel kills two? I got to hear the story. Like, how does a camel even kill anyone? I didn't know there was ever a recorded, like, a camel kill on people. God damn it, Rummy.
Yeah, camels
right down on the court.
They don't look like they're nasty, but they do have reputations of being kind of nasty creatures. Yeah.
They spit, but they don't, like, I mean, what, did it bite them? Did it bite them in the throat? Did it, like, drag them around until they got thirsty and the camel didn't have to drink water so the people died? Like, what happened here?
There wasn't a ton of details, but they just said it just attacked them. I mean, I think it like charged them, and I'm guessing to kill them, it probably knocked them over and like trampled them. That's got to be. I mean, it said attacked, that it attacked them. And I know that like camels and llamas, like if you go at them the wrong way, they can be like nasty creatures, like a lot of animals.
Sure, a lot of animals are nasty, but I would think even trampling to get two people at once, I mean, that's got to be, that camel's been practicing. Like, this is the best day of that camel's life, and the camel's been waiting to kill two people. I wonder if they were just visitors, or if they were like the owners of the petting zoo, and the camel was so sick of their shit, they had to die.
They were working there. They were working at the petting zoo. They actually escaped, and I believe like they were outside of the enclosure and they were trying to, you know, come get it, and then it just attacked people.
I like that you made the camel's pronouns there. That's very sweet.
I mean, I don't really know. The camel also attacked the county sheriff's vehicle as they were trying to like stop the camel from the victim. So like, this was not like a Blue Lives Matter camel. Like they hated everyone.
Yeah. I mean, camels do not support the police in any way, shape or form. aren't camels slow? Like, how did the camel do any of these things? These people must have been in wheelchairs, or which you should not be working at a petting zoo in a wheelchair, or just like weren't big fans of life. Like, it seems like it should be harder for a camel to kill you. That if a camel kills you and someone else, you were helping it along. You wanted it to happen in some way.
It was a 67-year-old and a 41-year-old. The Guardian in the UK did some investigative digging to this place. And the U.S. Department of Agriculture had noted many problems with this petting zoo over time, that they weren't being fed enough water, that there was just like poop everywhere, that they were leaving animals around with kids when no one was there to watch. So it did not seem like the most well-run petting zoo. So maybe they were just like hungry and pissed off camels, not well-fed.
You know what the headline of the article should have been? Two what? Victims, one hump. That's what I would have done if I were a journalist.
Does Rummy got his shit together or what? You know,
he's nibbling on me. Yeah, I think he wants to walk. I think which I'm going to do as soon as this is over. But he was all chill. Then wanted to play right before the podcast, and I was like, "Why aren't we playing? You did the podcast on Tuesday. What's this Thursday shit? I don't deal with it. What's the next headline?
It's about a wedding." And I think we've all been there, you know, your best man at a wedding where you're deeply in love with the bride, but not many of us have done what Brian White did in that situation. And what Brian White did was make a drunken confession of love for the bride during his best man speech in front of everyone and eventually steal that bride away from the groom. So I gotta say, well done, Brian White.
Now, here's what I love about this story, and I've actually read parts of this one. I'd seen it, like it's been around all week. I mean, and again, maybe it's 10 years old. Who the fuck cares? But he gives a speech, and it's a bad best man speech. If you're just talking about the bride and how much you love her, because it goes the other way where people make fun of the bride, and that's a bad one. But if you're the groom and you're sitting there watching your best man, who I assume is your best friend, confess his love for your wife, at no point do you think this is like a sweet thing he's doing. You're like, I can't fucking believe this asshole is doing this. But she doesn't get up from where she's sitting, come around, take his hand, and leave the wedding. No. They were married for years, I think.
Before. A year, yeah. They were married for a year, yeah.
And then is this all they talk about every day at the dinner table? Is it like, so, have you heard from fucking Brian? What's up with Brian? Like, he must have hated Brian after that. I bet there was almost a fight at the ceremony. And then a year later, she divorces him. I assume it was never meant to be. And goes right to the guy who professed love at the wedding. And like, I guarantee if they get married, there's no best man. There's no maid of honor. They don't open that door for her to be taken away. Unless they get the old husband to come back and give a best man speech. That would be fair. And that would be fun. I'd be excited for that.
She said she had no idea that the best man had these sort of feelings, that they met in high school. They were all friends in high school. And like you said, yeah, he was the best man. So he was best friends with the guy. They were all close, and he professes his love for her. And even weirder than that, they did a dance that night.
What?
And I mean, there was one point in the night where he danced with like the maid of honor and the best man danced with the wife, and he just said something strange. I'm looking for it both, where he said like, I love you both. Oh, he ended the speech, by the way, with love you both. Congratulations. And then everyone was just like, what the fuck? After he spent 5 minutes talking about how much, he loved her, but they did a dance and he confessed again when it was just like the two of them, dancing, how much he loved her. And she just thought like, she just hoped that she misheard him and like pretended that it never happened and didn't quite believe it. It's a bold move.
It's not romantic. It might sound romantic because they've ended up together, but she must have been like, motherfucker, you've had years to tell me this. You right. could have told me this yesterday and it wouldn't be so goddamn awkward. You chose the speech to break this out? Like, there's no reason he had to wait. It wasn't like he like just met her again for the first time. Like, they've been friends. He waited all this time to make it max awkward and on her.
But they ended up together. That's crazy. Ruined his friendship.
But they ended up together. Yeah. Oh, here's what he said while they were dancing. He said, why didn't you ever give me a chance? I would have taken care of you. Her response was, I asked him what he meant and he said nothing. I love you. I love the name of the husband too. And then he got quiet and awkward.
I mean,
he was wasted, clearly.
Must have been, but still, if you love someone that much, tell them before the ceremony is over. Don't wait till the after party when everyone's giving speeches to do this. It's a weak move. I can't believe she ended up with him. I guarantee they don't get married. It's too big a pussy move. Like, I bet the original husband sucked and she got out of it and then was like going to date this guy. And he told the press because he's all excited. He's like Lance Bass in that movie where he is trying to find a girl. I forget what it's called. No one ever saw it. But this is so weak that there's no way she looks past it and marries him.
Well, she also, I don't know about her, you know, her ability to kind of see things clearly. Because she said, yeah, after a year, she broke up with her husband. She said her then husband had started to adopt what she called, quote, a totally different lifestyle. So putting two and two together might not have been drugs. Straight. Might not have been straight.
I think she probably meant drugs.
Possibly. She said she went through a depression after that, and then she started hanging out with Brian again, maybe getting some food or reading a movie. And then she said, to her surprise, we just kissed one day when we were hanging out. It was out of nowhere. I didn't stop it, and then I kissed him back. I mean, it wasn't out of nowhere. He gave a speech at your wedding about how much he loved you. What are you talking
about?
Yeah,
it was out of everywhere. There was no out of the blue. He just did this.
It was his plan the whole time. He introduced your husband to that other lifestyle, whatever it was, and he got it done.
Yeah, he must have been like, hey, sorry about the wedding. Have you heard of cocaine? That's my wedding gift to
By
you.
The way, they've been married for 10 years. I should have read to the end of the article.
Okay. Oh, shit.
Okay, so
they have a nine-year-old kid.
They did get married. Okay, I thought she just broke up with the other husband and got together with this
guy. I think they are just like telling this story. Oh, they've got four kids now. It's a good looking family, good-looking woman. I think they probably weren't like too comfortable telling this story until recently, and it just popped out.
All right, Greg, you are the child. You're one of the four children. I'm the dad. Ask me how me and your mother got together.
Daddy, how did you and mommy meet?
I fucked up her wedding. I went to her wedding and I just like fucking ruined it. And then I waited a year until her husband was such a total piece of shit that she came to me and I kissed her.
And then we fucked. What's a piece of shit?
You are, you stupid kid. I didn't even want to marry this bitch. I was just fucking around at a wedding, and now I'm stuck with all of you. I hate my life. I'm gonna walk into the ocean.
Why are you so hard on me at basketball practice?
Because you're such a piece of shit. You're like 4'2". You're like a 4'2" piece of shit, which would be remarkable not on the basketball court. If you just saw a piece of shit your size, you'd be like, oh wow, I'm gonna call the police. But if you see it on the basketball court, you're just like, where's the fucking janitor? And I've been the janitor your whole life, and I'm done with it. I'm walking into the ocean, you piece of shit.
Well, would the like level of smell from a 4'2" piece of shit be in proportion to the size of the shit?
Not if it's dried out. Listen, tell your mom's ex-husband that I hate him. Tell your mom that I didn't even care about her. I just hated him so much. And this is my last speech. I'm dropping the mic and walking into the ocean. Don't follow me.
I love you, Daddy.
Well, fuck you. I mean, the level of improv is fucking like is just unbelievable. UCB is back, baby.
Yeah, I saw that.
And now it's time for
ad copy.
Hey, Paint Your Life is back. If you want to give a truly meaningful gift, you got to give paintyourlife.com. Here's what they do.
If you want to go to a wedding and you don't want to give a speech about how you're in love with one of them, then give them Paint Your Life.
That's true. If this best man had just avoided giving the speech and instead had taken a picture of the beautiful couple and had a professional hand-painted portrait from that photo at an affordable price in only a couple weeks, like they could have ended a lot of drama, and I think she would have loved it. That's a better sign of love than trying to ruin someone's marriage. Like you can get the woman in the end, get her with a paintyourlife.com painting.
You can do both. Who are we to judge? Ruin the wedding and then give them that. Give them a painting of you ruining the wedding.
That would be great, actually. Now they could get that. If they're listening now, they should call up paintyourlife.com. They should text Vanity to 64,000. They should send a picture of that night of them on the dais and that fool that was trying to marry the woman, and you're in the background and you're making the speech, and they can do anything you want at paintyourlife.com. Like if you want to have like a voice bubble, maybe they can even add that. I don't know if they do that. It's more of a photo.
I don't think they do. You're making this
I don't think
up.
They
you're,
do voice.
Greg, you're
voice
off bubbles. The rails. You're way out of pocket, Greg. You're
well, they said it could line. Be an action shot though. It could be like someone playing sports. It can be pets. It can be anything. Not and it even suggests here a wedding gift. It would be perfect.
Yeah, I want to ruin someone's wedding and then document it and give it to them. Remember this? You dumb fucks.
At paintyourlife.com, there is no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money is refunded, guaranteed. Right now is a limited time offer. Get 20% off your painting. That's right, 20% off and free shipping. To get this offer, text the word vanity to 64,000. That's vanity to 64,000. Text vanity to 64,000. Paint your life. Celebrate the moments that matter most. Terms apply. Available at paintyourlife.com/terms. Again, text vanity to 64,000. That's our sponsor that I get the most feedback from. People actually getting it and saying how much they loved it. And that's why they keep coming back. They enjoy it. You know what else we enjoy? Black Buffalo. If you're 21 and over and you dip or chew tobacco, pouches or long cut, you should try this tobacco alternative Black Buffalo. So what it is, it's everything you love about dipping, including pharmaceutical grade nicotine, but without the actual tobacco leaf or stem. You were a dipper a little bit in college, Anthony.
A little bit. Kind of after college for a while. If I could not smoke cigarettes, I would dip. I stopped dipping when I was on Jimmy Fallon. People thought it was so gross. I was like, yeah, I've got to stop this. But it is good. It is good. It's better than smoking in terms of like what you smell like. And it's not just for guys. Girls too. Erica dips. Erica's a big Black Buffalo girl.
I love the little pouches they come in. They're really cute.
Liz is a big Buffalo girl. Always dipping. I love it. It's my favorite thing about her.
It has a lot of different flavors. It's got wintergreen, mint, straight, peach, blood orange. You go to blackbuffalo.com, as we mentioned, available in long cut in pouches. They also have a subscription option if you're forgetful and you just want it to be delivered a certain amount every month. Made in the USA, born in the Midwest, raised in the South. It's 2022. If you're still dipping traditional tobacco or those white portion things, forget it. If so, and you're 21, it's time to get with Black Buffalo. It's everything you love about dipping, just without the actual tobacco leaf or stem. Head to blackbuffalo.com. Use the promo code JRVP at checkout for 25% off your first order. That's the best offer you'll find. Have to use the code JRVP for 25% off your first order. One last time, that's promo code JRVP for 25% off your order. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Here's why Black Buffalo is so important. Let's say you're walking down the street, okay, and you see Curt Schilling, Red Sox legend, Diamondbacks legend, Curt Schilling. Curt Schilling can no longer dip tobacco. He had his like saliva ducts removed. He can't dip it anymore, but he loved it. Put in some Black Buffalo, go up to Curt Schilling and say, hey, Curt, I want to tell you something about the president, and then spit right in his face. Doesn't that sound fun? You won't be able to do it without Black Buffalo. And that was
ad copy.
No, I think that makes perfect sense.
I do too.
What's your next headline?
I just feel like I need a little music between that and the next headline. Perfect. An OnlyFans model who dubbed herself as Fake Barbie has been charged with stabbing her boyfriend to death.
Now, what did she look like?
She looked what you, I guess, expect an OnlyFans model from the UK to look like. I don't, Ricky, you can find it and bring
would
it
you
up
say
while
she
we're
looks
talking.
Exactly like what you would expect someone named Fake Barbie who stabbed their boyfriend to death to look like.
No, not exactly. Kind of.
I would say, yeah, definitely.
Okay, I mean, I would say like a UK version of Fake Barbie. I hope that doesn't get us in trouble there.
I would think, you know, that's how you know she's Fake Barbie, because real Barbie never stabs Ken once. You can't even find a Barbie. There might be a Barbie with a knife who's like Chef Barbie, but Fake Barbie is definitely going to kill you. Why would you want to be with fake Barbie and not real Barbie?
I mean, if you're on OnlyFans, it's just like a bunch of pictures. I guess that's why you would subscribe to her. But yeah, you wouldn't want to be her boyfriend. Her boyfriend was a soccer player. He played for the Hannam Athletic Football Club. I don't know if that's like semi-professional. I think it's like a third division type of team. And he had three children. And a lot of people are sad that they lost him. But not fake Barbie. She killed him.
Did she say why she killed him? Like, was there a fight? Was it just like, was she doing it for OnlyFans? Was it for...
I don't think it was on OnlyFans. I don't think she recorded it, but she was well known, I guess, in the OnlyFans community over there in the UK. But no, I don't think it was like she taped it or anything.
I see. I would sign up for OnlyFans if I could watch people murder their boyfriends. If I could watch fake Barbie kill someone. Wouldn't you?
I don't know. I mean, that feels like a totally different type of service, but I think it would be popular. No, I wouldn't. I would not want to see that.
You wouldn't want to see fake Barbie stab someone. I wonder what she stabbed him with. Did it say that? Was it like a regular knife or was it like some crazy, was it scissors? What piece of glass? What happened?
It was a regular knife. She showed up to court in a gray tracksuit. I don't know why that was interesting, but I just thought like, I just was like, to me, that was like she was leaning into the whole OnlyFans thing. She showed up in like a jumpsuit, you know, in a tracksuit to court. I just feel like that's not the way to get sympathy.
I don't know. I got to think fake Barbie has a good time in prison. I got to think she gets in there and they treat her like Orange is the New Black. Like they're all fucking psyched she's there. They're psyched she stabbed her boyfriend. I feel bad for the boyfriend, but he kind of had a look about him like maybe it wasn't the first, maybe he was violent first. You know, and soccer players, you know, they can't use their hands. Nobody likes that. I'm on Team Fake Barbie. I'll say it right now.
What about, like, why? What makes you a fan?
I think he deserved to die and that she had to take him out. Maybe we find out that he was a demon. You know, I don't know. We don't know. You don't have a lot of details for me, Greg. I just know
there weren't a lot. I looked around at least a couple articles. I said there weren't a ton of details on this one, maybe because it's early in the process. I mean, do your parents listen to the show? Do you think they even know what an OnlyFans is?
I think they might just from what we've talked about on the show or maybe hearing about it somewhere. I know my dad's a big subscriber. My mom, I don't think she, you know, has gotten on board yet. But if she did and she was like the real fake Barbie, then I'd be scared.
I'm thinking of Erica had to explain to our former boss how one of our former coworkers is on OnlyFans. But he didn't like know what it was. And it is a little difficult to explain kind of
We talking Damashek? What's going on?
Damashek is posting racy pictures on OnlyFans though. I would sign up for Damashek's OnlyFans.
I would totally sign up for Damashek's OnlyFans. That would be it would be great. Damashek, get on the stick. We will support you. You can be the real fake Barbie. You can be the fake Ken. People would fucking eat it up. the only other story I have that reminds me of fake Barbie was, and I'm sure I've told this before, was when I worked at a KB toy store in the mall when I was in high school. And during the Christmas rush, it was so crazy in there, and we had to work like insane shifts that no matter what anyone asked me for, no matter what toy they were looking for, I would walk them to the front of the store and point at Cool Shaving Ken, who was a Ken doll that if you like had a little razor that if you put it in hot water and then put it on his face, his beard would disappear and then it would come back and you'd shave him again. But I remember just going to everyone and just pointing at Cool Shaving Ken, not saying a word, and then walking away. And no one ever quit. Everyone was like, it was so crazy in there that no one ever stopped me to be like, what are you doing? What's wrong? Why are you like this? I never got in trouble for it.
But you've never told, I don't think you've ever told that story. I feel like I would remember that story.
Cool Shaving Ken, and then I'm sure I've told the story of the Black Christmas Barbie, where we would get these boxes of Christmas Barbies, and like every year that's a big gift for kids. I don't know if it still is, but it was at that time for sure. And they have a new Christmas Barbie every year, and the box would come with 12. 10 white ones, the normal blonde-haired Barbie, and one African-American black, or two black Barbies. And because of the neighborhood we lived in, it was like a very much a white community. We just ended up with this like tower, like a pyramid of black Barbie or black Christmas Barbie dolls that we had. And people would call us from like as far away as West Virginia. They would call from like so far away, being like, we're looking for Christmas Barbie. Do you have it? And they would never say the white one. They would say, do you have Christmas Barbie? And we would say, we got a bunch of them. Come on in and get them. And they'd be like, you sure you do? We don't have to put it aside, put my name on it. Like, nope, we've got them. I'm looking at a stack of them. And they would come in hours later and then see that it was the black one. And we had a black woman who worked the register who was very sweet and in on the joke completely. And they would say, they'd all say the same thing. We'd hand it to them, the black one, and they would look at it, pause, and then look up at us and go, no, thank you. And she would go, and the cash register girl would go, what's wrong with the black one? And we it was so hard not to laugh when she would say that. And then the customers would always go. They would always go. They'd go, our daughter already has this one. And it was a complete and total lie, but we loved it. And they'd have to walk away and drive hours back to where they were from. But it was a fun fun prank in the toy store.
I mean, why not just buy it? At this point, I feel like people would buy it. They wouldn't be so racist. It's basically a racism test for all those people, and they all failed.
100%. 100%. Kids are racist from birth, as we found out. Thank you, Ted Cruz. Leftist politics. What's your next headline? You know what? This is my favorite story.
Why are Barbies still popular, by the way? I think Greta Gerwig's making a Barbie movie or something. Am I making this up? Like,
you are
no,
not.
That sounds
why
familiar.
Is this? Why is this still a thing?
Margot Robbie.
Surprise! It's a.
Oh, you're not really heavily into the world of Barbie, Craig?
Well, I was just googling it, and it was like it had a huge resurgence during the pandemic. People are getting way more into Barbies again. It just feels like it's run its course. We need some new ideas.
So you were trying to get into the mind of a young girl and could not do it, and now you're questioning the existence of anything for them? Because Barbie's been around a long fucking time.
I mean, I have a young girl. She was never into Barbie. Any of that.
You know why?
Did you ever buy her them?
No.
If they had Asian Barbie, do you think she'd be all about it?
We would show her that doll stuff, and she never wanted it. She wasn't. I mean, she had like someone. She was really young, but not that stuff.
If you want, I could get her a Barbie doll and carve up the face a little bit.
It's like a Joe Rogan mask face Barbie.
Exactly.
All right, our final story. This is one I just want to read the headline. I love the headline. Evil Florida man intentionally ran over elderly Vietnam veteran, saying he was looking for someone to kill.
Love this. And let me state off right off the bat that this guy is our JRVP listener of the week. If you get caught killing someone and they say, why'd you do it? And he said, I was looking for someone to kill. That's hilarious. That is so funny. They should let him go. He did not know the Vietnam vet. He didn't know him. He just saw an old guy and thought, that's for me.
Yeah, he was driving in a PT Cruiser.
Fuck yeah. And, shout out to Liz.
She drives a PT Cruiser?
Uh-huh.
Has she ever just like seen a 75-year-old Vietnam veteran standing up on the street and then aim the PT Cruiser right at that person and just driven over them and killed them? And then like 10 minutes later when the car had some sort of problems, call 911 and tell the police that you just ran over a 75-year-old. Man, because that's what this guy did.
She's done the former, not the latter. She's not. I mean, she wasn't born yesterday. She's not going to call the cops and be like, "I just ran someone over in my PT Cruiser." But I mean, just imagine you survive the Vietnam War. Okay, you survive the whole war. You come back. You got to deal with all the bullshit the country's giving you for being in that war. You survive that. You survive 2 years of a pandemic, and then you look up, and you see a fucking PT Cruiser. Coming at you, and you know this is it. I mean, that has got to be the worst way to go. I didn't know he was driving a PT Cruiser. If you're driving a PT Cruiser in the year of the Lord 2020, you are looking for someone to kill, for sure. I think most people have better impulse control, but you are always on the lookout for someone you can kill with your PT Cruiser.
I feel like it's got to be one of the better cars at, you know, killing Vietnam vets or anyone really, just because it's like you can aim it really well. Like you're not going to miss. You don't want a big car in that scenario. You want it to be like almost like a dart that's just going to hit its target.
I disagree. I think the PT Cruiser, it's going to have some problems when you do the actual running over. You know what I mean? It's not that high off the ground. It's got a lot of complicated parts in the front.
Maybe that's why it broke down. It broke down within 10 minutes. So that's a good point. Yeah.
It probably would have broken down within 5 minutes if he hadn't hit the fucking guy. It's a PT Cruiser. I'm saying you want like a Dodge Ram. You know what I mean? You want like some big ass truck or one of those, you want a Ford Fiesta, you know, a giant car like that to go running over someone. PT Cruiser, you're asking for problems. I bet every PT Cruiser that goes into the mechanic, they find someone underneath.
I mean, it was pretty crazy that he calls 911. He tells them he ran them over. And you're right. They asked him, like, well, why did you do that? And he just said, I wanted to know what it felt like to kill someone. Like with no remorse, nothing like that. And he talked about how he can like remember what the guy's face looked like, you know, right as he was about to hit him.
The guy was probably like a fucking PT Cruiser. Are you kidding me? God damn. That's my last words. I guarantee it. Yeah. Be suspicious of people in PT Cruisers. They are looking to kill someone.
He was 24 years old. He was sentenced to life in prison. So he didn't get off on it. I mean, I guess that if he can't get convicted, I guess who could?
Everyone's calling him Cruiser in prison for sure. Maybe PT for short. But yeah, the least embarrassing thing about owning a PT Cruiser is running over a veteran. And that's why he is our JRVP, Listener of the Week. And now it's time for
Choo-choo.
Recommendation station, Greg.
I'm going to recommend another book. I feel like I'm going too book heavy lately, but it's called Smoke Gets in Your Eyes by Caitlin Doughty. And that's spelled D-O-U-G-H-T-Y. I actually mentioned it a couple episodes ago. It is a book about a woman who goes to work at a crematorium. She's a really funny, good writer, and kind of just talks about that experience and what the funeral and cremation industry is like from the inside. I found it really interesting. Like, it's just this part of life that no one wants to think about or confront at all. She kind of gets into that, how death denying this country is, especially in this generation is. And she just like explains how it all works, how it's kind of funny, how it's kind of weird. The people that work there, like what goes into it. She gets deep at points, and it's very quick and it's a easy read. I enjoyed it. I'm not usually a nonfiction person, but I went through it quickly. I know you read it too. It's called Smoke Gets in Your Eyes by Caitlin Doughty. You liked it, right?
I read it, really enjoyed it. And it's exactly how you described it. I may have recommended it on this podcast in
really?
Previous years.
I had never heard of it. I may have, but yeah.
But I've had it forever.
It's probably eight or nine years old. Yeah, it's not a new book.
Yeah, I've got a hardcover, so I've had it for a long, long time. It's great. Erica.
So this one is important to me. So today that we're recording this is Thursday, which the show that Emma has been writing on, Fairly Odd Parents, the reboot, is out on Paramount Plus. So if you have kids or you want to support all of our friend Emma, the more streams it gets, the better it does. So I highly recommend. It is obviously a kids Nickelodeon show, but the writers on it are really fucking funny, and they put a lot of great stuff in it. So I'm excited to watch it tonight.
Yeah, my friend Mo's wife created it, or showrunning?
Yep, she's one of the executive producers. Yeah, Sam Martin.
Cool. I will never watch it, but I will think highly of it. My recommendation this week is a book I've been waiting to recommend. Very excited to have read this. It's called Most Dope, The Extraordinary Life of Mac Miller by Paul Cantor, C-A-N-T-O-R. It's a book that came out about Mac Miller about a month ago. Kind of goes through his life, his rise, his fall, his tragic fall. And I think it was kind of controversial because the parents weren't involved. The family was like, we're not signing off on this. But they interview all his friends, all the people he worked with. It's a great insight into his life, makes you love him even more, and kind of see how incredible it was that he went from being kind of like not a joke rapper, but you know, going from his first album, which is very much like almost like in sync of hip hop, to what he ended up becoming, which is almost like the Radiohead of hip hop, is amazing. His work ethic was incredible. I loved reading it. And if the family had been involved, I don't think I would have liked it as much, because they would have tried to sugarcoat things that you wanted to hear about. It's not like, I mean, it's very pro Mac Miller. It's nothing too tawdry, but it is it's a sad book and a great book for anyone who's a fan of the great Mac Miller. Rest in peace. So that's Most Dope, The Extraordinary Life of Mac Miller by Paul Cantor. Definitely worth your time. And that was
Choo Choo
Recommendation Station. Debbie, PT Cruz that over here.
Whoa, Nelly Furtado, that's a spicy meatball.